has been a long time, but I trust that the Lord will be glorified in what we have to say today, and that the people of God would be edified. Returning to John 10, verse 16. John chapter 10 and verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, one shepherd. Today I speak about the shepherd of Israel. What is it that motivates one to evangelism and missions? Is it an impulse that a person has to take off to a foreign mission field? Is it a peculiar knowledge of the scriptures that one has? The answer, of course, to these two questions is no. The motivation for evangelism and missions is rooted in this declaration made by our Lord Jesus, who said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." An imperative to your message this hour. Our Father, though we are weak in the body, your strength is made perfect in weakness. And we pray that your strength will be magnified today in the preaching of the gospel, where people will hear with an objective to obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10 is one of the famous I Am declarations of Jesus, recorded by the writer, evangelist John. Commentators say that there are 7 I Ams in John's gospel. But there's several other references where our Lord uses this title as an inference of his deity. It's a name that God identified himself with as far back as Exodus, when he was sending out a missionary by the name Moses to let his people go. The Lord said to the woman of Samaria, "I that speak to thee, I am he." That's another I am. Woman went away and identified Jesus as the Messiah. She was a Gentile woman. Lord later said in another one of his famous I Am declarations, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Here in chapter 10, there is another one. "I am the good shepherd." As the good shepherd, he states some imperatives. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold, one shepherd." Now, our Lord is not speaking these words arbitrarily. He came to fulfill many Old Testament prophecies. We think of the famous Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. If you look at Ezekiel 34, as you drop down to verses 22 and 23, we read, "Therefore I will save my flock." The shepherd not only seeks his flock, he saves his flock. "And there shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will judge between sheep and goat. I will be the judge in the sanctuary. And I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd." Beautiful words in Ezekiel 34, aren't they? David, in the context in Ezekiel, is used as a figure of Christ. David was a shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd. "For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, bishop of your souls." So when I say this morning that Christ is the shepherd of Israel, I am not referring to Israel in the Middle East, but the Israel of God, spiritual Israel. David's sheepfold was localized to the nation of Israel. Christ's sheepfold is extended to the whole world. I hope you understand this. I'm answering the question, what motivates a person to go to do evangelism and missions? What is it? You can answer the question. Another famous verse that the Lord came to fulfill was Isaiah 40. The prophet foresaw the Lord's shepherding work, and said in Isaiah 40, 10 and 11, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Speaking of the cross, "he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." The gentle Savior. Today our interest is in the text in verse 16. Twice in the chapter Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Twice He said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, this is a declaration, I said, of His deity. This is God's identification name, as I said, as far back as Exodus. Whenever the Lord used this phrase, this name, this title, "I am," it antagonized the Jewish leaders. They knew what He meant. He was laying claim to a title owned by God. Let us look first at the setting of the Lord's words. His parable began with the warning of illegal entrance into the sheepfold. The sheepfold is another name for the sheep pen. It's an enclosure where sheep are found. The church, that's what it is. He was particularly making a reference to the false religion in Israel, Judaism. They had become apostate. They had entered in by another way. He's also referring to others in the church today who who have found their way in the church. They're not converted. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. To climb up emphasizes exertion, work, to enter into the kingdom. Taking it by force. Second, he shows how his people are characterized. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, the leader. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. The doorkeeper, of course, is Almighty God. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, example. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Three things that legitimizes the sheep of the shepherd. One, their entry into the kingdom. They did not climb over the door. As I said, this would imply forced entry. And they found their way in by their own works. Take note of this. Second, their obedience to the voice of the shepherd. They follow his voice. I don't buy into this nonsense that people are talking. Three, they're given a will to follow. Another thing Jesus did is to personify himself as the door. Jesus said again, the New King James said, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now this word, this phrase, thieves and robbers, came from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said that the people of Israel had become a den of robbers. Jesus quoted from this text when he went into the temple and said to the money changers, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves and robbers. They had corrupted the gospel. And there are many thieves and robbers today. The door is the port of entry into the kingdom of God, the way. And this is the context that formed the subject that we want to consider. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold, one shepherd. Well, this verse sets the biblical precedence for church evangelism and missions. Verse 16. The good shepherd has other sheep. Let that rest on your mind. Let me further explore this verse, showing you a few heads, beginning with one, the primary motive for missions and evangelism. Primary motive for missions and evangelism. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's it. Now, these words are commonly interpreted by many gifted commentators to mean that the other sheep refers to Gentile nations. You've read that. I have read it. Practically every commentary. It is true that Gentiles will be brought into the fold of the kingdom. That's true. But other sheep can refer to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, no matter what is their national heritage. They were lost Jews too. who fits into the category of other sheep? It was Nicodemus. It was one of the thieves on the cross. It was Paul, who was another sheep. So don't limit this text to Gentiles. Other sheep can refer to Jews too. And that's what he was talking about. There were lost Jews, just like there were lost Gentiles. There were the Simeons. There were others who were to be brought into the sheepfold. And these words suggest that the shepherd's sheep are not limited to the nation of Israel, as David's sheep were, or shepherd Jesus, the son of David, is a world shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Moreover, the phrase, other sheep I have, also implies that Christ owned the people before the foundation of the world. Other sheep I have. Present tense. Your Father gave the Son a people, Psalm 2, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance, even to the uttermost parts of the world. Oh, what a beautiful text. Our Lord spoke a parable saying, what man having 100 sheep and lose one, do not search diligently till he finds it? When he finds it, brings it home. The parable says, he had 100 sheep. He owned them. They're his. 100 is the number that represents fullness and every one of God's elect will be brought to the sheepfold. God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. The sheep, not the world, the sheep. That any should perish. But that all, the sheep, not all in this room, but his elect, should come to repentance. What motivates the preacher? John 10:16. Meditate on it. Therefore, the primary motivation for missions and evangelism is embedded in this truth. Other sheep I have. I wish I knew them. I don't. At times you think you have a sheep in the pen, and it turned out that that sheep is a goat. It butts other sheep. It kicks against the shepherd. That's a goat. That's goat behavior. The words "this fold" refer to those who are already his people. Of course, the disciples and those who were already called. It was this fold he was talking about, surrounded by his disciples. This fold is not a reference to the local church, because the local church consists of sheep and goats. Nevertheless, our motive for missions ought to be rooted in the fact that the Lord has other sheep. I don't know them. The great apostle Paul, when he was hounded and persecuted on his second missionary journey there in Corinth, was given the assuring words in Acts 18:9-10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night in a vision, saying, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I'm with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Sheep. Here the Lord said to Paul, no man should hurt thee. And Paul was brutalized, beaten, stoned, left for dead. No man shall hurt you? What's that? No man shall hurt your soul. Do not fear him that kills the body. This COVID thing is a messenger from God. Frightens people out of their wits. Not secure. Having much people is the same of having as having much sheep. Paul was motivated by the words of our Lord. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Paul the great evangelist said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What was it that kept the apostles and others plowing ahead in the light of the blows and the imprisonments? What is it? What was it that motivated them? Other sheep. What is it that motivates me? Other sheep. A man of God, I was telling a young man, if you preach to your people and you do not love your people, the time for you to quit preaching is now. Thank you, Pastor. If Jesus loved them, you should love them. Jesus would not have said, other sheep I have, if they were not his. He would have said, I hope to have other sheep, or I will have other sheep. But he didn't say that. He was emphatic. Many are motivated to the Christian ministry and evangelism for various reasons, wrong reasons. Some have a desire that is born out of parents who serve as missionaries. Others are led to mission fields because they were unsuccessful in the pastorate at home. Maybe I can be useful somewhere else. All these reasons are wrong. The words of the Lord Jesus ought to be front and center of the Christian's mind as the primary motive for evangelism, church work, and missions. Many church workers are cutting loose. They're not motivated like other sheep. But these words can apply to some of you sitting here today. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You're not born again. You're not a Christian. You should consider these words. If I am outside the fold of a covenantal relationship with the shepherd, you ought to consider that. You fit into the category of other sheep. And maybe many of you, there are many folds in the world. And it's important that you and I become identified with the shepherd's fold. This is my first head. The primary motive for evangelism and missions and other sheep I have. And the worst people to deal with are those who have been pre-evangelized. You have to un-evangelize them to re-evangelize them. Second point, essential imperatives in missions. You know what? I didn't give you the outline, and I did it deliberately in the bulletin. Let me reserve that for myself now, that you can come and listen. Essential imperatives in missions and evangelism. John 10:16, part B. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. That line. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Notice the plural noun. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There are two imperatives that are essential, that is noted by two singular first person words. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The two imperatives. In order for men, women, boys, and girls to be part of the sheepfold, the kingdom, the church, they must be brought, and they must hear the voice of the shepherd. This text also hints man's unwillingness to come. Man in his depravity would not come. He can't come. The bringer has the power to bring. The sheep has no power or will to be brought. The central person in any missionary endeavor is the great I am. Motivation of God's servants rests in the power and the will of the shepherd. Two important imperatives are stated in the sentence. I just shared them with you. Them also I must bring. The other imperative, they shall hear my voice. The word shall hear can be rendered properly, they will hear. The words must and shall are potent words that belong to God. This ties together with what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is a very comforting text to me in my early days as a Christian. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. You're wrestling with personal security. There you go. Are you a sheep? Are you hearing his voice? Or are you hearing other voices? This young lady called all the time saying, I'm hearing voices. Well, but maybe you're taking the wrong medication. The words them and they in John 9:16, part B, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, are in the passive tense, and quite naturally, they are brought, they are granted ears to hear, and a will to come. It's similar to the paralyzed man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. There were four men that was bringing him to Jesus. This is somewhat like that. This is the picture of salvation. He heard the beautiful words, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." The dependence of the four men who brought the paralytic man to Jesus, the dependence of those four rested in the power of the Savior and His Word. What nonsense are you telling me about you have a will? Today men like to take glory from Christ in their blogs, in their news reports. I often wonder who are promoting, who's being promoted, whose voice is being heard, who's doing the bringing. Fortunately, most of those that I have brought have not lasted as long as a snow cone in an oven. But you and I can rest assured that those who Christ brings will last unto eternal life. I'm looking for more people that Christ brings. Some people bring themselves. You see how they are. Now you see me. No, you don't. Christ haven't brought them. Otherwise, they'll be hearing His voice. Cannot make one hear the Lord's voice. Many are not apt. They haven't been given ears to hear or eyes to see. Remember Moses said, "I've labored with you for all these years, and up to now God haven't given you eyes to see and ears to hear." The good preacher, Moses, could say this. "Up to this day, I'm leaving 120 years old, and up to now, 40 years long with you." And could it be that many of you here haven't been given eyes and ears? I'm worried about you. I cannot bring anyone. The shepherd must bring them. So the essential imperatives, them. And by the way, the them also refer to the sheep. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. Two things. They brought, they hear. Lastly, ultimate objective in missions. Ultimate objective in missions. And you see it in the text. "And there shall be one fold, one shepherd." That's the ultimate objective. One fold, one shepherd. One people of God under one head. Would to God that you in this church would meet that objective, that you would be a part of the fold under the headship of Christ. If you can be under the headship of an under-shepherd, what makes you think that you would be subject to the chief shepherd? If you can't be accountable to an under-shepherd, what makes you think that you would be accountable to the chief shepherd? Ultimate objective. The one fold is comprised of all nations and kindred under the rule of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Sometimes God sent a man across the seas to gather a people to counsel them. about living in the church and living in their homes. The under shepherd has to act out the role of the chief shepherd. The high priest Caiaphas prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even though he didn't know what he was saying. And he said to his peers, "You do not know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us, the nation, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." He was speaking politically, but he was right spiritually. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, the elect in that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad, the sheep. Caiaphas, an unsaved man. Unsaved men can proclaim truth. The high priest didn't know what he was saying, but the scripture says that God put those words in his mouth, just like he put those things in Balaam's ass to stop him. God will gather together his sheep, notice, who are scattered. Man's objective may be to fill the church with individuals, and that has failed, and it will fail. Many may not know what they are saved from or what they are saved for when men fill the church. The Lord has a different objective than man. The one fold and the one shepherd speak of unity under the headship of Christ. Ephesians 4 tells us this. There's one God, there's one Father, there's one Spirit, there's one body. So these truths, brethren, today are the motivational factor for church missions and evangelism. John chapter 10, verse 16. You should pay attention to that carefully. I've broken it up into three wedges that you can remember quite easily. As long as the Lord has not returned, these words should motivate us to serving, to giving, to sending, to going, and to preaching Christ. He is the shepherd who draws his sheep, the Israel of God. And to many of you who are with me today, John 10:16 is not exclusive to outside evangelism and missions. It is not exclusively speaking to outside evangelism and missions. Let us not take comfort by excluding ourselves from these words. I alluded to it before. Other sheep I have who are not of this fold. Maybe today you are one who have not heard the voice of the shepherd. Maybe you are one to whom the Lord referred to in John 5:37 when he said, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." He was speaking to the Judaizers, the descendants of Abraham. They were covenant people. They were hearing the scriptures every Sabbath, but they did not hear the voice of the shepherd. And a lot of you here today are like that. You know how I know? that many are not hearing the voice of the shepherd. Many are doing their own thing, still doing what they want. They're listening, not hearing, doing their own thing, have not heard the voice of the shepherd. They're not of this fold. They have not entered the sheepfold. They're not under the headship of the good shepherd. Brethren, our legs are not strong enough to climb over the gate, the door. The shepherd must draw us. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It's an essential imperative for you to hear the voice of the shepherd. The hearing is his to give you. But the asking is your responsibility. If you were to listen to some of the reports from foreign mission fields, you and I would think that men are pouring into the kingdom at the beat of a drum. I haven't found that in my 25 years of going abroad. Maybe something is wrong with me. Or maybe something is wrong with my message. We have had more setbacks than steps forward. 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. 3 steps backwards. We have had more disappointments than appointments. But one thing is certain, the good shepherd will draw his sheep. That's my motivation. Mike Thomas' son, on the heels of my departure, came to me and said, Pastor, I am ready for you to baptize me. Remember Brother Tom Lilton? He's a big boy, suit and all, tie. Pastor, I'm ready for you to baptize me. I said, well, this is my motivation for you to see me again in the summer. And I'm laying it out here to you now. In these days that are forthcoming, I want to focus my attention on other sheep. There are 2 more, but I wouldn't get into that right now. He will draw them. Because he is the shepherd, he knows the sheep. Sometimes you can be deceived. A sheep that you thought was a sheep will prove to you that's a goat. I often marvel at the cattle farmers in rural Zimbabwe. Sometimes over 100 cattle in the village is assigned to one man to herd. I understand what Amos was doing. To herd for a few days, maybe a week. He's responsible for all the cattle in the village. And the workers gone to work, and the cattle must be watered and whatever. One man, the owners of those cattle collect them late in the evening. You often see them coming as in the dawn of the day. I asked one man, but how do you know your cattle among so many that look alike? Speckled cattle, black, brown, mixed. How can you tell? He said to me, I know my cows, and my cows know me. I said, wow. My cattle have an identifiable mark. Who is the Lord's sheep? I put it together. The Lord's sheep. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ continue to depart from iniquity. Continue to depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19. The seal or the brand on the sheep are identifiable marks of ownership. The seal, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The sheep of Jesus will adhere to the voice of the shepherd. The Apostle Paul says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ continually depart from evil or from iniquity. Finally, because Jesus is the good shepherd, he feeds. He feeds the sheep. The shepherds in the Old Testament was fouling up the waters. You know what I mean? You know, one time Peter Gandhi would take us to this stream. Well, he says, Pastor, I got this good stream for you to get some water from. Took us to the stream. When we went to the stream, we see all kinds of cow dung and all kinds. I said, Peter, is this what you call good water? I said, this is a muddy up water. We can't drink this water. But you see, the people over there drink anything. They've got a different constitution. So we rejected the water. But I say this to show you that the shepherds in Israel fed the sheep with foul waters. Our shepherd nourishes us with pure water in a good pasture. A pasture that is well watered with the dew of heaven. I'm talking about the gospel. The true gospel. Many are looking for the fatness of the earth. And you notice there was a difference between Jacob's blessing and Esau's blessings. Esau's blessings was the fatness of the earth. Jacob's blessing was the dew. You know that, right? From heaven, the gospel. And many of us are seeking blessings from the fatness of the earth. Not sheep. Goats. There's no spiritual sustenance value in the earth. It is filled with viruses. As soon as one leaves, another comes. And that's how it would be. Jesus said, it is the beginning of sorrows. Well, this is what I have today, brethren. I struggle a bit. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to get back. What is the motive for evangelism and missions? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This fold is speaking about those who are genuinely saved, not the church. What are the essential imperatives needed? Them also must hear my voice. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. What is the ultimate objective? And there should be one fold. One shepherd. There's only one kingdom of God, not two. There's not plan B and plan A. One kingdom. The church, the eternal church. Brought together. on the one head, Christ. There's only one church. Brethren, you and I cannot want a clearer text. And if these words do not motivate you to serve, to share, to pray, to participate, you may be outside the sheepfold. You are outside the sheepfold. I kid you not. Other sheep are not limited to those in the wild, Mukambami. But they are near the sheepfold. They're near. His voice is made clear, loud and clear every day. The problem is they're not hearing. The ultimate objective, one fold, one shepherd. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 24, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness in all the world. Why? Why? For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. As long as there are yet other sheep, Jesus will not come. But when they are brought in, and then there's no more purpose for the church, but just waiting. And maybe we're there already, just waiting. May the Lord confirm His word in your hearing today. Let's pray. Lord, you have helped us today by giving us the strength and the patience. We trust, O Lord, that the word that has gone forth was pleasing to your ears. We pray that you will use it to draw your sheep to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.